Thank you, Christy. Beautiful, beautiful song. I'm glad to see everyone in the church. You all look so beautiful. No amen on that? Okay. You should. You should say amen. Okay, this is the third Sunday of stewardship. We continue our walk together as we are learning from God and learning from one another. I realize that I am preaching this morning to great stewards, great number of stewards. You all and most of you would be ready to teach rest of us all day long about stewardship, long-lasting stewardship, not just a one day or 2 days or so, but you being good stewards for God's kingdom for a long time and for this church. So thank you for doing that. But isn't so that there's always something to learn. We never become perfect. Even there's such a doctrine in our Methodist theology that becoming perfect in love. It's called actually Christian perfection. That I've been struggling as long as I've been Methodist. That, you know, I'm looking at myself and I said that there's no way me being perfect by any standards. But it is growing to be perfect in your love as you grow closer to Jesus Christ. So this morning we continue talking a little bit about how to serve God, how to serve our fellow Christians, and how to serve in our community, and how to serve with your resources. And at first we can say something general about this. And this is common sense, we all know it. Good stewardship means responsible, managing all of your resources God has given to you. So we don't have really nothing without God who has given it to us. Now, what are the resources? Some of you have a long list already when you think about it. How about your time? Your time. That is precious resources God has given to you. What about different talents and gifts, which are many? You all are very talented people in many ways. How about your financial resources God has given to you to be stewards over those for the glory of God? Endless amount of resources when you think about it. To serve with your resources, you should manage them with a principle of, I am giving God first. I'm thinking about God first. And there are such things as accountability and commitment. You all know what accountability means. You've been held accountable on something that somebody trusted you to do. And then you make commitment to it. It means that you promise to follow it through. You promise to follow it through. Recognizing, after all, that they all belong to God. You are not the owner. God is the owner. You are a steward. You are steward, not the owner. We all know that. I hope so. All this can involve being generous with your possessions, using your skills to help others, and dedicating your heart and time and life for God's service. This is what we learn in the church. This is what we learn in this world if we listen to God's guidance, a guide to good stewardship. Now, let me ask you this. Did you know that Bible teaches about your personal management and goals? You say, wait a minute, where does Bible say anything about this? All over. You listen to Jesus, you listen to the teachings of apostles. You don't have to go on management. You don't have to take one management class. Well, it would be good for you to take, but you think about going to take leadership class or something like that as a Christian believer, because church lacks of teaching, or the Word of God lacks of teaching about management and setting your personal goals. No, there's quite a lot about that in the Bible. What are we to manage? How about your time? Let's go back to time again. How about managing your time? manage your time with intentional effort and discipline to reach personal goals that you believe God has given to you. By the way, you got to have goals in your life. Am I right? We all got to have goals. And the church, we better have a goal. I've been trying to do my part as your pastor to set some goals for us that can be reached, reachable goals that I believe is attainable within realism. By the way, we all have the same amount of time. Did you know that? 24 hours a day, they say. 24 hours. It means 168 hours per every week. You keep on counting, it is over 5,000 hours per month. That's a lot of time, okay? Here's what I have seen and heard, and I think you can share it with me. I think there are two particular group of people when you talk about time that you can categorize, okay? The first group is people that when you talk about them, about serving or committing or taking over places of service, for example, in the church, the first answer you get is, no, I don't have time. Have you ever heard that? I don't have time. I wish I could, but I don't have time for it. So that amazes me that how in the world you know that, are you sure you don't have time? Have you prioritized your time and using your time so that you don't have hardly never time to serve or lead or be part of something that somebody from the church is asking you to do? The second group of people, well, actually, let me rephrase this a little bit. Let me make it a little bit better. Now, there are two different timely manners or timely events in everybody's life, okay, that you do not have control over. First is your birth, am I right? None of us can say, I finally decided to show up and I burned myself. I did it and I'm here and what can I do for you? Can't say that. If you say, that would be nonsense. Your birth was a miracle. It was timely manner, orchestrated by God himself. And none of us are here by accident. Your life has value and purpose. You are very, very important. You are precious to God and to so many people. The other timely manner that you don't have no control over is your death. For us all, it is in the future. There's no way that you can set it up. You don't have control over it. You really don't have. God Almighty only has control over these two major timely events of every human being. But here's the thing. Just about everything related to time between these two, you have control over it. You are steward for it. You've been asked to manage your time. And I have to say that some of us are very good at it. And some of us may not be all that good at it. So it's a lifelong learning curve, learning to manage your time. Some people are so very good at it, and some are having constantly problem how to manage their time. What amazes me, as I mentioned, that always when you talk about something, sharing or giving their time for the ministry, they seem like there's no time at all. The answer is no. Don't get this too hard, but that's just the way I've been thinking about it a lot. Then the other part of people are that when you talk about something, about their service, their leadership, their taking their time, they said, well, let me think about it. Can you give me a day or so to think about it? I think I can do it. I just need to figure it out. Where do I put it in my schedule? And a day or two, they call you back and they said, Pastor, if you're asking me to serve, I think I can do it. I know this is important for the church. I think I'd be glad to do it. So it seems like they are always able to work it out despite how busy they are. But they have learned to prioritize their time. It always amazes me. Two different sets of people. Some have lots of time to do something and some no time at all to do anything in the church. Here's a story. Listen to this. Years ago, I officiated a funeral in my past congregation while I was serving. The family have asked me to do it. I said, talk to your pastor first. I said, we have already talked and he's fine with me coming over and officiating the funeral, which I did. So I have learned this gentleman well. He was already an elderly man when I learned to know him. But I learned so much about him. He always, just about every time, he said, Pastor, God gave me the most, the easiest job, so to speak, the best job you can ever have, anybody can have. I said, what did you do? And then he told me again. He was working for the government services, and he was working in the same office in our time in Western Kentucky. So he started working there after his high school, and the organization that trained him and put him through training, and he got promoted. Before too long, he was office manager, and then by the time before his retirement, he was district manager. But he was working exactly from the same office. Can you see this? Can you think about it? He said, I can walk to my job. I was there a long time. I retired from there. I work 8 hours a day. All my evenings were free. My weekends were free. I didn't have overtime. And he said, God gave me the best possible job anybody can ask. And I said, I see that. When he was a little over 50, he retired. Ended up living 40 years on retirement. He died over 90 years old. That is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Good job. Now, here's the thing. At his funeral, friends came forward. And you listen to their sharing about this dead friend. Let me call this man who passed away Frank. Frank has been a good man. So one of his friends came forward and said, I met Frank only one day before his passing. And we talked. He was already very tired and ready to go. But he said something that I remember this friend said. Frank said that, I wish I have had more time so I would do something I really like to do. I wish I had more time. I would do something that I really wanted to do. And then I paused and I started listening. I started thinking about this man's many testimonies, thanking God for the great job that was very steady and 8 hours a day, no weekends, no nights, no nothing. And he was working the same location all his life. I wonder how in the world, at his deathbed, he can say, I wish I had had more time to do something I really wanted to do. I couldn't figure it out. I just couldn't figure it out. I thought Frank probably wanted to say that maybe I should have prioritized my time better because God gave me plenty of time. His work was ideal. Evenings free, weekends free, no traveling. No leaving family behind. Retiring early. Being on retirement around 40 years. Enjoying many, many good things. Traveling and playing golf. That was one of his favorite. That's okay. I just couldn't understand that. How in the world anybody can be given more time to use for something he wanted to do? I hope anyone... None of us will be in the same situation at your deathbed. You say, you retreat, I wish I had been given more time so I can do something that I really like, wanted to do. This man had his time, plenty of time. So let's make sure that we use our time correctly and we use it wisely. Now, about being generous with your resources when serving others, that's a very important thing. One of the key words of Christian stewardship is the word generous. Generous. How many of you have heard this word generous? We all have heard that word, generous. In our gospel reading, Jesus gave an assignment to his disciples, and it was this. Listen to this. Let's go back to our gospel reading. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Wow. That was an assignment. Can you hear disciples saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity, but how in the world I am able to do that? How can I do that?" Healing the sick, all the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. There's no other way to understand this. Even Jesus was talking to apostles that has been given grace to minister in this capacity. But Jesus was saying that I am your resource. Only thing I'm asking you to serve and be good stewards on my resources I have bestowed upon you, I have given to you. Namely, Jesus, our Lord, does not ask us to do anything beyond our capacity or our resources. Only thing he's asking us to work on resources that he has given to us. Am I right? Listen to this. Check this out. What else he says, Jesus, to his disciples. Don't take any money in your money belts. No gold, no silver, or even copper coins. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a chain of clothes and sandals or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve to be fed. Listen to this. Can you imagine anybody being sent to the ministry empty-handed before this? Can anybody be more empty-handed to be sent to the ministry of the highest level ministry you can imagine? What is the secret of this? What is the secret of stewardship? It is that we understand that we don't have what God is asking us to have, to serve with, before he has given it to us. All the sources, all the resources you have has been given by God to you. When it comes to your stewardship, he's asking you to serve with the resources he has given to you. He doesn't ask you to serve on somebody else's resources, but he's asking you to serve with your resources he has given to you. You see? When you think about first, God was asking his disciples to serve with the impossible. Come on, Lord Jesus, have common sense. There's no way we can do it. Then we can read afterward, this is exactly what they were doing. Not on their own with their own power and wisdom, but the power of God by the grace of Jesus Christ. This is what stewardship is in the church. It's about serving and being steward with the resources God has given to us. Putting this in our modern or postmodern, if you will, context of ours today, Would it look like this, something like this? Donate your resources to help those in need, whether spiritual or physical or mental. Would that be it? Or volunteer your time to help others or become more involved in your church community. Start something new and different, maybe. That's probably what you need to be doing. Berea United Methodist Church are anywhere close to be a complete church community. We have lots of room for inspiration and leadership and servanthood. Volunteer your time to help others to become more involved, more encouraged in their church, in your church community than they have ever been. Be a model, be example. This is to say that when you see somebody pulling back, skipping Sundays, one Sunday after another, you think, well, they do it because they are busy. Maybe I start doing the same. No, you should do totally opposite. You should deepen your relationship with Christ and do all you can, and you can keep your place and space and position in God's service and in the church. That is what we need to be doing. Being role model for somebody who is struggling with his or her leadership, servanthood, and stewardship. Participate in your church community and in different events and activities. Serve and connect with others. I know some Sunday morning when we think about it, it's rainy and late fall Sunday, and you have choices to make. Then you have to make choice whether stay home or come to church. But listen to this. Maybe it is that you don't need that much service that morning. But please understand, there's somebody in the church family who needs to see you. They need to see you. They need your encouragement, your blessing, your smile, your something that only you can give. So we are not just here to get something for myself, but to give others, to serve others, what we can do and where we can help with. Reach out to advocate for and care for the most vulnerable people, at risk members of your church and of our church. And we have those people as well. Two words about financial giving, as it is included, to your servanthood. Not excluded from it. I'm going to be very brief in this. Give regularly. Whatever you give, maintain regularity. Sometimes challenging yourself when you realize that you may be able to give more to the Lord. Don't never give unwillingly. Don't never be mad when you are giving to the Lord. If you are angry or mad when you give, keep it. Put it back in your pocket. I remember when I was serving in my first appointment back in Helsinki, and I realized I have learned so much from my senior pastor at that time. At that time, I don't believe I learned so much. But when years after years of service, I understand I learned so much. One Sunday morning, we have built a new church building, and we have lots of responsibilities. He said, by the way, this church doesn't need mad money or angry money. If you reach out for the offering plate and you feel bad, you are angry, you are not happy, keep it for yourself till you give generously, joyfully to the Lord, because that's the way of giving. Challenge yourself, be generous, love the Lord, and become good steward for the ministry of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If the ushers can come forward at this time, we continue our time together by the ministry of giving.